WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscowane. Andrew Davis has earned a reputation as an accomplished director of intelligent action thrillers. He knows how to get your adrenaline going and stimulate your brain cells in one sitting. His hit movies include the Chuck Norris film, Code of Silence, Above the Law and Under Siege with Steven Seagal, The Package with Gene Hackman, and his latest, The Fugitive, which has become the hit movie of the summer. It reworks the 60s TV show of the same name. Once again, Dr. Richard Kimball, played by Harrison Ford, is falsely accused of murdering his wife. He escapes from jail to clear his name and find his wife's real murderer, the one-armed man. And U.S. Marshal Sam Girard, played by Tommy Lee Jones, is in hot pursuit. The TV show, which starred David Janssen as Dr. Kimball, had a cult following of its own when it originally aired. I asked Davis if he had been one of its fans.
Actually not. I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't a fan. It's just that I didn't watch it. So I guess that I wasn't a fan. The 60s were very busy for a lot of people. And I was growing up and going to college and finishing high school. And actually, Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones and myself really never watched the show much. And I think that may have sort of helped us.
Well, I was wondering whether you had any fears about taking a show, even if you didn't watch it, but that many people did, and it was a picture that was so clear in so many viewers' minds, and a character, Dr. Richard Kimball, certainly is played by David Janssen, that was so clear in people's minds. Whether you had any fears about changing that at all?
Well, you know, Harrison is not David Janssen.
No.
And this is going to be a modern movie and not an episodic TV show. So we knew immediately that it had to have a different style. And by looking at a few episodes of the show and the final version of the show, it was clear what the elements were that anybody attached to it would want to see and had to be retained. They were basically very interesting dramatic elements.
Such as?
Well, an unjustly accused man, you know, the justice system failing, the loss of his wife, which was not very embellished and actually not an issue in the TV show, but we felt that it needed to be. Being pursued by a man like Girard, who was had this great kind of energy, and the fact that the murder was committed by a unique person, a one-armed man. Those elements were easy to keep.
Why Harrison Ford, and was he your first choice to play Dr. Kimball?
Harrison Ford chose me. So it was the other way around. I had just finished another movie called Under Siege, and I was expecting to take time off. And I got a phone call from Warner Brothers saying that Harrison had seen Under Siege and wanted me to meet with him and to have me direct this movie if the meeting went well. And it did.
What did you like about what he could bring to that character, Dr. Kimball?
Well, he had a great range. First of all, he was a very sophisticated vascular surgeon, which fit perfectly. He's a great everyman. So that people could identify with him in terms of this could happen to me. And the fact that his own movie mystique is such a heroic kind of guy who's in jeopardy was perfect to fit into this role.
Now, Sam Girard, who's the U.S. Marshal who's obsessed with tracking down Dr. Kimball, is played by Tommy Lee Jones. And you seem to have changed this character slightly. He seems to be less malevolent than the TV show. Were you interested in humanizing him?
Yeah, I think everybody was interested in getting rid of cliches and to have the pursuer have dimension, because he's really not the bad guy.
No.
He's just the heat. He's the pulse. He's the pressure on Richard Kimball. And to give him some range as a human being and to have people around him like his other marshals who could play off of him and with him, I felt was important.
Well, I don't want to give too much away, although I realize a lot of people have seen The Fugitive already, but there is a scene in the movie. It's a train crash. It crashes into the bus that is transporting Dr. Kimball to prison. And it's a spectacular scene, and my understanding is that it really happened in that you used a real train and a real train wreck. Why did you want to do that?
Well, why not? I didn't want to animate Harrison Ford, and I didn't want to, you know, not shoot in Chicago. So we wanted to make everything real. It just there's just no way to duplicate that kind of reality. You can get close and you can trick people, but for the kind of coverage we wanted to have, it would have been very complicated. We, in fact, did do some special effects shots that are part of the sequence, but there was an incredible train crash of a freight train into a bus.
Now, where did you film this scene?
In North Carolina.
And it was the Smoky Mountain Railroad,
right.
Is that right?
Smoky, yes, that's right.
How did you find Dillsboro. How did you find this particular railroad?
Well, actually, we scouted in Illinois first, and we're looking in Missouri and Indiana. I think one of our location scouts... I found a book about independently owned railways and began getting on the phone. And it turned out there was a dam in North Carolina that we could use for another part of the chase and a tunnel that all fit together. So it worked out quite well.
So someone called up and said, we want to film a train wreck. Can we use your train?
Well, actually, what we did is we sort of assembled our own train. We bought seven or eight different cars that were specifically decided by ourselves that we wanted to have. And we found an old locomotive that we were able to take the engine out of. It was a junker. And we, in fact, pushed one locomotive, and the locomotive that hit the bus was a real one, didn't get hurt at all.
Now, I understand that you had some 11 cameras going. Is that right? And obviously with this, it's one take and one take only.
I think it was closer to over 13 or 16 cameras by the time we put it all together. Yeah, it was one take only. That's correct. We had cranes there if we had to do a second take, but it wasn't necessary.
How much planning went into this particular scene?
Well, once we found the location, I would say about a month and a half worth of real work with grading the track and putting in certain trestles of our own and having the ability to have a track hidden under the dirt so the train, in fact, could start chasing Harrison and look like it's chasing Harrison.
Well, certainly most of your movies, and I probably should list them, Under Siege, The Package, Above the Law, Code of Silence, these are all pretty much action movies. What is satisfying about making these kinds of pictures?
Well, you know, I didn't start out to be an action director. I'd done a lot of that work as a cameraman. And I made a musical film, a little musical film called Stony Island, and then was hired to direct a movie by Chuck Norris, a Chuck Norris movie called Code of Silence, and it was successful. And people said, well, he can do that. Let's let him do another one and another one. The satisfying part is that you really get to use your talents as a director. It's very visual. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of stuff going on, and you get to be a filmmaker. I've been able to get themes into these films that make the difference to me in terms of having some kind of social fabric, whether it be about police brutality or guns and drugs for arms and the end of the Cold War and the military-industrial complex and needing to have it continue. These are all themes that have gone on in films I've done. And I can get away with it because it makes them more real.
Hmm.
And it makes the characters grounded in a reality where you care about them more and the action doesn't seem cartoonish.
Is there an approach you have to filming violence? And I wouldn't say your films are necessarily violent, but there are some violent scenes. I know in Under Siege, the actor, Steven Seagal, thank you, he actually kind of rips the throat out of a guy that he's taking on. And I wonder how you think about and how you approach a scene like that.
Well, actually, working with Steven Seagal and those kinds of scenes, those are like oriental kind of, martial arts kind of techniques that he draws out of his background. And basically, I photograph them. I don't tell him how to do it. And that's not stuff that I'm really interested in. I'm much more interested in the movement of the movie and in the characters that are part of the story that fit into what's going on there. I'm not proud of that kind of stuff, and hopefully I won't have to do that kind of work anymore.
You're not proud of it. Why?
Well, I don't think entertainment should be about violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, the violence should not be the entertainment part of a movie. I think heroism, and I think that movement and action and tension and chase is all part of what movies have been about from the beginning. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing train crashes at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago when I was a kid to play with a player piano, in the old 1910 Street. But I think that that films can be, if there's going to be violence in films, it should not be fluffed up. It shouldn't be cartoonish, because when people get shot, they die. And I don't think that we should have films that use these kinds of scenes as a way to handle human behavior. It'd be better if people could talk things through. But if you're going to depict it, don't pamper it.
I noticed that you've worked a number of times with Tommy Lee Jones and also with Steven Seagal. What do you get as a director when you work with an actor over time in one movie after another?
Well, you get trust and you get great collaboration, which is what I need. I mean, the more people who have good ideas, the better I am as a director and the better the movie's going to be. And some people don't like that. They create the script or they've inherited a script, they don't want to change it. They envision it. They just want to have their own vision. And I think I feel comfortable enough about the process that I sort of set a tone and set a point of view about what the scene is about, and then work with people to try to get them to give me the best they can for it.
I'm speaking with director Andrew Davis. His latest film is The Fugitive. Did you go to the movies a lot as a kid?
Yeah. We used to go to see The Thing, you know, and be in yo-yo contests and stuff like that. And, I remember seeing The Magnificent Seven in Madison, Wisconsin. My sister was in school up there, and some of her friends took me to a movie, and I loved it. I really loved the experience of sitting in the balcony and going off on that ride. And I was influenced by all kinds of movies, but I remember as a kid there was a film called The Little Fugitive, which was sort of an Italian realistic movie done in New York about a kid who is a latchkey kid, and that made a big impression on me.
Why?
And then, why?
Yeah.
Oh, because it was about a kid who was left alone. He was, and his brother acted like he had killed him. You know, it was a phony murder taking place, and the young brother thought he had killed his older brother and was left alone under Coney Island wandering around. It was very, for a young kid to be immersed in another kid your age you cared about. And it felt real to me. It was done in Coney Island running around. I remembered later in life that I, in fact, was involved in photography when I was very young at the YMCA, and later was a projectionist in grammar school of movies, and then got into music. So there was a background, a great interest in photography, and through my parents, I was able to meet and work with Haskell Wexler on Medium Cool in 1968, which really opened the doors for me. And Haskell sort of became a role model for me as a young cameraman.
Well, you were an assistant cameraman for him for Medium Cool.
Well, I was an assistant cameraman for him on a phantom unit that was shooting all of the riot footage and being gassed by the police. I wasn't actually on the regular 35mm part of it, but we met and then worked together on a couple scripts.
So you were right in the middle of the riots at the 68 convention?
Mm-hmm. Right where we shot The Fugitive. The roof of the Hilton.
Well, let me ask you something, because one of the people that works for Fresh Air said, ask him, because he was watching Medium Cool, and he said there's one point where some tear gas gets thrown, and you hear on camera someone say, Haskell, it's real. Is that
you? Yeah, no, there wasn't me, but the Chicago accent sounds the same.
How has being a cameraman helped you as a director?
Well, people come to directing from all kinds of points of view. And some are writers, some are actors, some are producers, some are art directors. And I feel coming from the camera is great, because the analogy that I've been using is that, you know, it's like conducting a symphony without being able to read music.
Hmm.
And there are great directors who don't come from this background. Very few actually come from the camera. But some people who, for example, Fellini was a cartoonist. He has a visual orientation. Kubrick was a still photographer. There are certain people who either acquire it, you know, or have it to begin with.
I understand that the movie, you finished the movie very quickly, and the editing job had to be done very, very quickly to get it into the theaters in August.
We finished shooting May 18th, and we had to be done editing every frame of film by the first or second week of June. So it was incredible. It was cut really in about 6 weeks.
Do you like to work fast like that?
Well, this film was unique because it's a film about a chase.
Yeah.
And I think, we were all in a chase the whole time. The script was constantly evolving. We improvised on the set every day. And the pace that with the editing had, I think, it lent some energy to the final product.
Well, I thank you very much, Andrew Davis, for joining us today on Fresh Air and talking to us about your movies.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you.
Andrew Davis is the director of The Fugitive.
Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Go get him.
This is Fresh Air.